I start my talk, I would like to take this opportunity to extend my warm greetings and the best wishes to Rinpoche, as well as all the Lamas and all our Dhamma brothers and sisters. And also I would like to thank very much the Jamia Center, the organizers, who have very kindly invited us here and given us such a warm welcome and a warm hospitality. And also for creating this opportunity to meet you all and to have some moments with you to share the teachings of the Buddha. You know, generally speaking, that we as a human beings, in our life, we require many things. Many things to accomplish, many wishes, requirements and so forth. But it is quite clear that no matter how much you have, wherever you are, that is not enough. Always there is something, always there is some more requirement and and more, always never satisfied, whether you are in a developed country or in an underdeveloped country or developing country, wherever you are, there is always dissatisfaction, no matter where you are, what you are, where you are and what you do, what you have. So this is very clear through our own experience that Lord Buddha said that the samsara as a whole, there is nothing but suffering. Because the nature of the samsara is suffering, just as like the nature of the fire is hot, whether it's a big fire or small fire. And so in our life, what now, what we can do? Everybody, whether the educated or uneducated, or whether you believe in a religion or or those who do not believe in any religion, or which tradition that you follow, what philosophy you follow, what views you follow, that one thing that is common to all is that everybody wish to be free from suffering, and everybody wish to have a happiness. And for the sake of this, that every individual is making efforts in worldly ways, or in spiritual way, or in any ways, and every country is making developments in order to create more happiness and more and lessen sufferings. But no matter what you do, there's no end to the sufferings, and there's no happiness that we are seeking. It's not getting. So now, how can we get this? Is that according to the Lord Buddha's teachings, that every sentient being actually possess the Buddha nature. The true nature of our mind is pure right from the beginning, that it is never stained with the obscurations or the any forms of obscurations. and so therefore that is the one reason that if we tried if we make effort, that the main reason is that because that we possess the Buddha nature, that we can, if we work hard, that we can attain the enlightenment. But at the moment we do not see this Buddha nature. At the moment that we are completely covered with the obscurations. But the obscurations are not in the nature. If it is within the nature of the mind, then it will never be able to eliminate. For example, like the nature of the coal is black. So no matter how much you wash, the coal will never become white. But the defilements or the obscurations are not in the nature of the mind. They are only at the outer level. And so, therefore, just as like the dirty cloth, the white dirty cloth, due to the dirt that you do not see the white cloth at the moment, but with the right methods, that we can wash it, and then one could see the actual color of the cloth. So similarly, the obscurations that we have are only at the outer level, and so therefore, with the right method, and these could be eliminated. So through these two reasons, that if we work hard, if we follow the Dharma path, that we can become a fully enlightened Buddha. And so for these reasons, that in our life, although many things to do, many things to accomplish, but the most important thing is the spiritual practice. Because all the other things, the worldly, or the material wealth, or the power, or whatever, no matter what you have, it is only beneficial within this lifespan. The day when we leave from this world, we have to leave everything behind. All our wealth, friends, and everything, not only that, even our precious body, which we have the day from the when we were conceived from the mother's womb onwards, that we've been together with this precious body, and we care so much about our body, even this body also we have to leave behind. And only the consciousness. And when it leaves at that time, the only thing that we can hold on or that we can rely on is the spiritual practice. And not only that, even in this life, in generally speaking, when we are well and when we do not face major problems, we do not notice so much. But when we face major problems, or when we face tragedies, the person who have there's a vast difference between the person who have a spiritual assistance or the spiritual ideas and the person who do not have any spiritual assistance. Person who do not have any spiritual assistance, when they face the such tragedies or the sufferings, then they are in a desperate situation. And then they have to rely on the other very wrong methods, or sometimes even have to take extreme measures. But the person who have the spiritual assistance, because all the time we were told in the teaching that the one of the very basic teachings is that of the Buddha is that everything is impermanent. Anything that is created with a cause and the condition is impermanent. And anything that is with the any actions that are connected with the defilements are sufferings. So when you face such tragedies or the problems, that it is obvious. It is not something that is happening only to you, but it is the nature of the stuff, the samsara, or the nature of the realm of existence itself is the permanent, impermanent, and the suffering. And so when you have such understanding that it, even though the problem may be the same thing, the tragedy may be the same thing, but the person who has the spiritual assistance, he is ready to face, because he knew that it is the nature, so it is ready to face the such situation. And due to this, it lessens, the mental burden. And of course, when your mental burden is lessened, then the outer, the physical suffering is also naturally, because the mind is like the boss and the body is like a servant. If the mind is happy, no matter, even one could be in the very poorest country, in the most poor conditions, but one is happy. But if the mind is not happy, even you are in the best facilities, that is still, of course, you have a lot of miseries. And so since the mind is the most important, and to give us the strength to face the challenges or the sufferings, the even for this life also, the most important thing is the Dharma practice. And in this world, of course, there are many religions, and each and every religion has its own duties and its own ways to help the mankind to eliminate the suffering. But the Lord Buddha, who created the enlightenment thought in the beginning for the sake of all sentient beings, without any exception. And then in the meantime, that he accumulated the tremendous amount of merit and the wisdom heaps, and which eventually attained the full enlightenment, fully enlightened, and where he departed from all forms of obscurations, and there he obtained the every possible qualities. And so since his the very first motivation is to benefit the sentient beings, the every activity, the physical activity, the voice activity, the wisdom activity, whatever, all the activities are for the benefit of sentient beings. And among these activities, the most important one is the voice activity, the turning of the wheel of Dharma, as it is known. The Buddha himself got the realization, the great realization, the knowledge, the great realization that he gained, he put it in the words and taught to the people, taught to the beings, that how to eliminate sufferings and how to enter into the path of liberation. and enlightenment. And so the sentient being, the space has no limits. The sentient beings also has no limits. And so the limitless sentient beings, that we all are different. Although generally we all are human beings, but we have each one has a different mind, some different taste, different mentalities, different defilements, and so forth. So therefore, in order to suit every level of our mind, the Buddha also has bestowed enormous amount of teaching. The one kind of teaching is not enough. Just as like we require many medicines in order to cure the different types of disease. So similarly, in order to help the limitless sentient beings, that Buddha also gave many many teachings. So there are enormous amount of teachings. But if we make limitless teachings could be make divisions like subject wise, time wise, etc. But generally speaking, that the followers, from the followers' point of view, the followers wise, that there are two types of followers. The followers who wish to follow the smaller path or the smaller goal, are the followers that who wish to follow a greater path or the greater goal. And so that is why that we have two yanas, like Hinayana and the Mahayana. So the Hinayana path is though it has many teachings, but in essence, what is most important is not to harm any sentient beings. If you harm any sentient beings, physically or mentally or whichever way, then it is not right. So therefore, you should not harm any sentient beings. And the Mahayana path is not only that you should not harm any sentient beings, but also you must benefit all as much as you can to all sentient beings. Because sentient beings, each and every sentient being is like ourselves. Ourselves, from our own experience, we can learn how much we wish to be free from suffering and how much we wish to have happiness. That every sentient being, tiny from the insect to the most intelligent human beings, up to the devas loves, that every sentient being all have the same feeling, that all wish to be free from suffering and all wish to have happiness. And so therefore, it is not proper just to think of ourselves, that we have to, because oneself is a one person, and when the other sentient beings is a countless. So when the one and many, which is more important, many is more important. And besides, on the selfish thoughts, the qualities never rise, the good things never rise, only the sufferings rise. The great Indian Pandit Shantideva said, all the sufferings in this universe came from the caring for oneself. If we think of oneself, then we have a jealousy, competitions, pride, stinginess, desire, and hatred, and so forth. All the impure thoughts rise. And any action that are created with these impure thoughts create only suffering. Just as like the root of the tree is poison, then anything that grows in this tree are poison. Similarly, any action that are created from these defilements are only sufferings. And so when we think of ourselves only, we think of only for our own happiness, our own sufferings, then all we can achieve is more suffering. And also the Shantideva said that all the happiness in this universe came from wanting other people to be happy. If you wish other people to be happy, then all the good things, all the qualities, just as like if the root of the tree is a medicine, then anything that grows on this tree are medicine. So similarly, the loving kindness and compassion, or the wanting to help the other sentient beings, on the basis of this, that any action that are created through this mind are happiness. And so that is why that the root of the Mahayana teaching is the loving kindness and the compassion. Which is the source of all the happiness, all the benefit. And so, therefore, we must try every way to cultivate the loving kindness and the compassion. But mere compassion or the loving having compassion is not enough. We must rescue the sentient beings from the suffering of samsara, and we must put them into the path of happiness. But to do this at the moment, we ourselves are not free. We do not have the full knowledge, we do not have the full power. We ourselves are completely bound with our karma and the defilements. And so how can we help? The only way, or the most effective way, the only most effective way to help the sentient being is to attain the perfect enlightenment. Because once you attain the perfect enlightenment, and then even for a single moment, you can help, you can rescue countless sentient beings. And so therefore, we must, not just for the one's own sake, but for the sake of all sentient beings, that we must attain the perfect enlightenment. Even just having a thought of such a thought, even for a single moment, has a immeasurable merits. And so therefore it is the most beneficial thing to do. And so we must try everywhere that to have a real sincere wish to attain the perfect enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. And this enlightenment, perfect enlightenment, do not rise without its proper cause and conditions. And so the more the proper course and condition is to follow the Mahayana path. To follow the Mahayana path also, of course, has some very, very vast things. But the first thing is that why you are following this path is because that you have a very sincere wish to attain the perfect enlightenment. On the basis of this, then you practice. There are many, many practices, but the main thing is the true practice, the method and wisdom. Just as like, in order to fly in the sky, you need two wings. So similarly, in order to attain the enlightenment, we need two, the method to realize the wisdom and the wisdom itself. And they are depend on each other. Just as like, in order to walk, we need feet, and also we need eyes to see the path, and the feet to walk on. If we have no eyes, we don't know where to go. And if we don't have the feet, also we can't walk. So in order to walk, we require the eyes to see the path and the feet to walk on. And so the method means to accumulate the merits, such as like the generosity, moral conduct, patience, endeavor, and concentration, etc. The concentration and the wisdom is the all these, the loving kindness and the compassion, etc., will only suppress the faults, because the main fault is the self-clinging. When you have a self-clinging, then all the faults rise. So these method practices only suppress the self-clinging. In order to completely dig out the root of the self-clinging or the self, you require the wisdom that is completely against the self-thinking, the wisdom that can completely eliminate the self-thinking. And so to do this, that we must do the concentration, and then on the basis of concentration, then we build up the wisdom. A wisdom that will be able to see the ultimate truth of all phenomena, the self and as well as the matters, outer phenomena. So with these two together, then we will be able to attain the perfect enlightenment. And so therefore, it is very, very important to practice Dharma. And many people says that it is very difficult to practice Dharma, particularly in the big cities where there's so much destruction, so much and so busy, the life is very busy, and there are so many things to do, and so many, so much noise, and so forth. But I feel the Buddha Dharma, the Lord Buddha gave many, many teachings all the purpose of giving this teaching is to tame our wild mind. It is due to our wild mind, due to our mind which is so much involved with defilement, that due to this untamed mind, the wild mind, due to this, that from the beginning we were caught in this realm of existence, and that we suffer, we experience so many different sufferings. We've been already been suffered so much in the past, and we are still suffering. And if we do not work now, we will continuously experience suffering. And so therefore the Buddha gave teaching to tame our mind, mind which is so wild and so easy to involve with the defilement. And so the purpose of giving all this teaching is to tame our mind. And so all the practices, of course there are many different forms of practicing Dhamma, and Dhamma has many different ways, like recitation, meditation, offerings, prostration, circumambulation, studying, contemplation, meditation, etc. There are many, many different forms of practicing, but all of this is also to tame our mind. If any of these factors, if it doesn't make the Dhamma word Dharma, Sanskrit word Dharma has many meanings, many different meanings at use when you use at different terms of the different occasions, that it is a different meanings. But I think the word generally it means a sort of like to change our mind. That the impure mind, or the mind that is the wild mind, that is the so involved with the defilements, to change it to the right path. So every practice that we do, if it doesn't change, although of course even just doing it, even imitating the practice also has benefit. I do not mean to say that these practices do not benefit. Of course even imitation also has a benefit. But if it doesn't change your mind, then it is not so effective. In order to be effective, dharma practice and effective, we must see whether the practice we are doing, whether it really changes, it makes a difference in your mind or not. And so therefore, if it changes, so it depends on how we use. If we use it right way, one could be the busiest person in the busiest city, but still could be a very good Dharma practitioner, because that everything we see, everything we do, everyone that we associate gives us a chance to practice Dharma. I mean, for example, when you are traveling in the big cities, you see many changes. And so that is impermanent, that we are seeing every day. In the big cities like this, that you see so much suffering. Again, we are experiencing the Dharma. The Buddha tells us that everything is suffering, that we actually see it. Not only we study, we learn from the teaching, but from our own naked eyes, that we can see so much suffering. So from this also you learn. And when you are in associating with the people, it has a chance to help people, to practice compassion. When people are makes you, disturbs you, and creates, when people are angry with you, or when people disturbs your mind, gives us a chance to practice patience. and so forth and so on. That if we could utilize the life, the everyday life that we have, especially in the cities, that if we could utilize that this, then everywhere, when you are traveling, when you are at work, when you are in home, wherever you are, you could use that time in practicing the Dharma. And from all this experience, the different types of experience, will help us to understand deeper, and also will help us to understand how important to practice Dharma. And so higher meditations such as concentration and the insight wisdom are very, very important. But in order to reach that level, first I think the very basic foundations, such as the difficulties of obtaining the precious human birth, the impermanent and death, and the cause of karma, and the suffering of samsara, the four common foundations are very important. And these, of course, you can learn from the teacher. You can hear from your teacher, you can also read in the books. And to gain a knowledge is not enough. If we knew it a long time ago, but still it doesn't make us any changes. You still remain the same person, you still have the anger, you still cannot practice Dharma. Although you must have heard 100 times the difficulties of obtaining the precious human birth, but it doesn't make any changes. But we are still in the same level. We still have the defilements. We still are not practicing. Why? Because we do not experience it. So knowing it and through contemplation to have the experience is two different things. Well, one may know many texts, one may know many teachings, but if he didn't practice, if he didn't use it in his daily life, then it is not the right. For example, you can make very delicious foods, and the purpose of making delicious food is to eat. If you make it, and if you didn't eat, then there's no point. So similarly, knowing Dharma, studying Dharma is to utilize it in our daily life. And so to do this, we have to use many methods, many different, including our daily experience, the lives that we go through as we are traveling in the city, as we are living in the city, we see many things. Everything we see, if we could understand everything is a lesson, everything is a teaching. And so when you have these basic foundations, not only understanding, but the inner feeling, inner urge, the basic foundations, then you would not stay. You would not waste your time. You would not remain like this. You would definitely make every effort. Just as the persons who are in the prison, they have only one thought, and that is that when can I get out of this? So similarly, when you have the real understanding, that when you have the real understanding of the suffering of samsara and the real inner feeling of of the impermanent and death and so forth, then you will not remain. You will have the real inner urge to practice Dharma. And so when you have this inner urge, real desire, real wish to practice Dharma, when you have that, then I think with you, your meditation, your concentration, your inner higher meditations will generally rise. And so to have the first, the basic foundations, not only in knowledge, but to have a real inner urge, also depends a lot on our merits. In our past life, that we accumulated merits, we have done many virtuous deeds, and we have had very special prayers, and due to this, that in this life that we are born as human beings, not only human beings, that we have all the good fortune to hear the Dharma and to have a chance to practice and so forth. And similarly, now in order to have the real inner feeling about spiritual practice, also a lot depends on the merits that we have. So therefore, at the same time, we must accumulate merits by through the prayers, through the devotion to the Guru and to the Buddha Dharma Sangha, and all at the same time through the practicing the loving kindness and compassion to all sentient beings. So in this way, that when from this side, when the merits, your merit increases, then also your wisdom increases. And so in these two sort of goes together, when the merit is fully built up, then the wisdom will also come. And with the merit and wisdom together, then one will be able to succeed in the path. So with this now I conclude, and I wish all of you a long life, good health, and especially a complete success in your spiritual path. And may the blessings of the Triple Gem be with you now and always. Thank you. Yeah, sure. Joe, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
And I say one, but I mean me. Am I doing something wrong? Or
I mean, I didn't say that a spiritual practice practitioner, when they face suffering, it is not easy. But when in comparison,
yeah,
the person who do not have any spiritual background, there's a difference. I mean, problems are same to every. Generally, the problems are, of course, there's a problem, particularly when you do not have the a good practice. I mean, if your understanding or if your spiritual level, the level of spiritual is low, of course, the problem is big.
Still you find these problems very When I say one, but I mean am I doing something wrong or?
I mean, I didn't say that a spiritual practitioner, when they face suffering, it is not easy. But when in comparison, the person who do not have any spiritual background, there's a difference. I mean, problems are same to every, and generally the problems are, of course there's a problem, particularly when you do not have the a good practice. I mean, if your understanding or if your spiritual level, the level of spiritual is low, of course the problem is big.